Books of the Bible. Nehemiah is the continuing story of exiles returning from Babylonian captivity. In this book, the people rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and renew the covenant under the leadership of Nehemiah. Despite opposition, the wall is rebuilt in 52 days and is perceived as a work wrought by God. God will bless that work which brings him honor.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And there's a young man who, he's Southern Baptist or Presbyterian, I'm just guessing by the haircut, who is sitting and eating a bag of crunchy things with cheese on them. Correct, young man?
Yes.
All right. What's your first name, young man?
Kevin.
Kevin, may I talk to you on the radio for a minute? I want to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
First of all, what are you eating in that non-Ziploc bag?
Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its? Dude, and good for it. But you're skinny as a rail. Do you know there's enough MSG? We could bury you and dig you up in about 1,000 years, and you'd still look pretty much the same because of all the MSG in there?
I guess.
All right. I didn't come here to scold you about your eating habits. What kind of home did you grow up in?
Well, my dad's from Delaware. My mom's from Chicago.
So. Yeah. Religious home. What kind of religion was in the house?
Methodist.
I wouldn't have picked Methodist. All right, Kevin, I'm going to quiz you on your Methodism. What would John Wesley, he's the founder of Methodism, you remember that? What would he say is the big point? What's Methodism all about?
What's Methodism all about?
You're a soft-spoken guy, you know that?
Yeah.
You've been told that. All right.
Yes.
Well, speak up a little bit and tell me what Methodism is.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? I know, and I'm not a Methodist.
Well, you sound like you're a religious radio thing.
How do you know I'm a religious radio?
You ask me questions about religion.
Doesn't anybody ever talk to you about religion?
Not on the
It's
radio.
Okay these days. It's not against the law, right?
Right.
All right.
I've never had anyone ask me that question.
Really? No. Okay, you're 19 years old. Has anybody ever tried to witness to you? Has any Christian ever come up to you and said, hey, I want to try to convert you? Has that happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, really? And why did they, what did they tell you? What was the reason they said you should become a Christian?
Pretty much. I mean, the only ones that really tried to meet you, like the people over at Phillips Arena, you know, that stand out there and say everything's
all right.
Yeah. So pretty much.
No, but a guy like me walking up to you and going, hey, I want to talk to you about spiritual things. Anybody ever do that with you?
No.
No?
Not really.
Huh. All right, so what is the big message of Methodism? Come on. Did you ever go to church?
Yeah.
Well, what'd they tell you? Hating this, aren't you?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to ask you a different question. You ready for this, Kevin? Would you consider yourself to be a good person? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to test you. I'm going to give you a quiz. You ready?
Okay.
The Ten Commandment quiz. You ready? How many lies have you told in your life, Kevin?
A lot.
Give me a number.
I don't know.
A lot. All right.
A lot.
A lot. Okay, so Kevin, if you just met me and I told you that I've told a lot of lies, what name would you give to me? What would you call me?
A liar.
All right. So are you a liar?
Yes.
All righty. How many things have you stolen in your life, Kevin?
What do you mean, like just little things or?
Doesn't matter. It's not the object that's so important.
Not much.
It's about your heart.
I don't steal a lot.
Money from your parents, from a sibling, downloading music.
I did a little bit of that back when it was free, but I don't do it now.
Okay, but you've stolen something in your life, right?
Yeah.
All right. So with that, what would that make you? If you've stolen something, that would make you a...
Thief.
Attaboy. All right. Going to get a little more personal. And I can tell you want that because you're enjoying this so much. All right, Kevin. How many times, estimate, do you think that you've looked at a woman and had a desire, a lust, a fantasy about a woman? Nobody saw it, nobody knew about it, just you, but you've lusted in your heart.
I'd say quite a few times.
All right, so my Methodist friend, you know that the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. You die someday, God's going to kill you, because that's how we die. God ends our life.
Yep.
You stand before God and it's judgment time. The books are open on Kevin's life. He's seen all the lies. He's seen all the lusting. He's seen all the stealing. Kevin, would God say that you're an innocent man or a guilty man?
Guilty, but, I mean, no one's perfect. So
I agree, but that's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Okay, a criminal standing before a judge can't say, but judge, other people speed, other people do bad things. It's irrelevant. You're standing before a gun.
Yeah.
You're guilty. So here's the question. What should God do with a guilty sinner named Kevin? Should he take him to heaven, or should he send him to hell?
I think, like I said, nobody's perfect, but if we try our hardest to be the best we can, we should go to heaven. So.
Let me reason with you. You're standing before a judge on earth, and you've broken the laws, lots of them, repeatedly. And you say, but judge, I've tried really hard. What's the judge going to say to you?
You're going to prison.
Right on. What would God say to you?
You're going to hell.
You're going to hell. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew. Well, everybody should go to hell.
Okay.
Right? But this is where the Methodist part comes in. Here's our tension, Kevin. We got ourselves a courtroom drama going on, a legal drama, and you've watched enough lawyer stories on TV. There's a criminal standing before a judge who's broken the laws, and because the judge is just, he can't just go, forget about it, go ahead, go away, you're fine. He couldn't do that because he wouldn't be just. And God can't dismiss sins because that would make him unjust. So God must punish everybody who has broken their laws. That includes you and me and that guy and those people over there. He must punish everybody because he is just. And the foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. And he's not going to let anybody get away with murder or lying or stealing or blasphemy or anything. But God is rich in mercy, and he wants to save sinners from going to hell. Now we got tension going on. God's got to punish sinners, but he'd like to offer mercy. So what did God do so that justice could be satisfied, so that sinners could be forgiven and set free and go to heaven to be with him? What did God do for you, Kevin, so you don't have to go to hell?
He sacrificed his son, Jesus Christ.
That's the good news of the gospel. That's the story of Methodism right there. The good news of the gospel is Jesus, the God-man, died for you, a sinner, rose from the dead, defeated death, and he offers you forgiveness and everlasting life. He doesn't just give it to everybody. You have got to respond to the good news of the gospel with the R word. Do you know what the R word is?
Religion?
Repentance. Yeah, it's not about religion. It's about repentance. God wants you to, he doesn't want you to join a club and do a bunch of good works. Because he already did the good works for you. He wants you to repent. He wants you to recognize, wow, God should have thrashed me. God should squash me like a bug. But instead, he died for me. The good man, Jesus, dying for me, the bad man. And he offers me forgiveness and everlasting life. When we recognize that, when we get a glimpse of the goodness of God, it should cause us to want to go, I'm sorry, I have done wrong. I've been living for myself. I've broken all your laws. Please forgive me. And you turn from your sins, which is what repentance is. It's not becoming perfect, but it's having a new attitude, and it's putting your trust in Jesus Christ, the only true and living God. The Bible says when you respond to the good news of the gospel by repenting and trusting his son, all of the goodness that Jesus did, by living a perfect life, keeping all the laws you couldn't, by taking the punishment you deserve, that'll all be credited to your account. And God will take you to heaven because of the good works of Jesus on behalf of the bad man, Kevin. That is what Methodism teaches. That is what the Bible teaches. Now here's the question, Kevin. Is that true?
Yes.
Then here's the next question, and I'll leave you. All right? Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
So you can point to a day where you realized you weren't a good man, like you told me. You're a sinful man. You're a bad man. You're a dirty man. And you deserve God's wrath. But you realize that Jesus died for you, and you've turned from your sins, and you have put your trust in him. You died to yourself, and he has made you born again. Okay, dude, I'm not your judge, okay? I'm leaving now.
Okay.
you know and God knows. Your friends probably know too. If I gathered all your pals around and your family around and I said, tell me, what's the most important thing in Kevin's life? What would they say?
I'd say God.
They would. They'd say he's living for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But I asked you earlier, I said, what do you want it to say on your tombstone? And you said, I don't know, I'm figuring it out. Shouldn't you have said, well, I'm living for the Lord and I want to glorify him and I want to be obedient to him?
Yeah, but you're asking me about mechanical engineering.
All right, dude.
Okay.
The Bible says that unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. You don't die to yourself physically, but you die to yourself spiritually, if you will. You stop thinking I'm a good guy. You humble yourself, and God saves you, and you know it. And you don't think you're a good man. You think you're a forgiven man by a good God. So do what the Bible says, Kevin. Examine yourself. I'm not your examiner. I'm a stranger. Examine yourself. See if you are in the truth and make your calling and election sure. If you don't know and you can't honestly say, I know that I've repented and put my trust in Jesus. I am his son. He has got me in his hand. And when I die, I'm going to be with him because of what Jesus did. If you don't know that for sure, then please make today the day of your salvation. He offers you mercy. Repent and trust his son and he will save you. All right? Fair enough?
Yeah.
We'll continue on Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
You ever been sitting in a sermon and your pastor drops a Greek word like he actually expects you to know what it means?
Well, in the original Greek, the word metanoia, and you're just nodding along like you totally followed that.
Well, what if you actually could follow it? Our resource, It's Not Greek to Me, is a basic Greek primer that teaches you to read your New Testament in the original language. It's not seminary-level memorization. It's just enough to understand what your pastor's talking about, to get more out of commentaries and footnotes, and do your own word studies so you know exactly what God intended to communicate. There's 10 lessons. It's perfect for individuals and families and Sunday school classes and homeschoolers or just anyone preparing for a more serious study down the road. This is the language that God himself chose to write your New Testament, and learning it, even the basics, will change the way you study Scripture. It's Not Greek to Me. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Remember when the craziest cultural ideas stayed in dystopian novels? Yeah, those days are over. We're living in the brave new world now, and it showed up faster than anyone expected it to. Social media didn't just change how we communicate, it changed how everyone thinks. And if you're not ready as a Christian to defend what you believe about gender and sexuality and race and entertainment and a dozen other hot button issues, you're going to get steamrolled. Wretched Worldview 2 picks up where the first one left off. Todd Friel and Dr. Nathan Busnitz tackled 22 more issues through a biblical lens. Critical race theory, modesty, persecution, environmentalism, secular entertainment, and more. The stuff you're actually seeing in the headlines and hearing at your dinner table. Because the Christian worldview is under assault and, I don't know, isn't going to cut it anymore. Wretched Worldview 2 is available in streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org. Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation, the spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Alrighty, it's Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio, and there's a young man who's sitting in the shade who's actually looking at a DVD cover, and I wonder, hey, young man, can I sit next to you and chat with you for a moment on the radio while you're sitting and enjoying the shade?
Yeah, sure.
Is that all right? All right, what year are you here at Georgia Tech?
I'm a grad student. I'm actually in
What are you doing here?
Yeah,
get out of here.
I'm trying.
What do you mean? Oh, so you're a grad, but have you graduated?
No.
Oh, so you got one more year to go.
Yeah.
And what do you want to do when you grow up?
Hopefully work for a research and development company.
To develop what?
Polymers, coatings.
So plastic stuff,
yep,
that...
Uh-huh.
All right, I want to go back to good, bad, and the ugly.
Okay.
All right, here's my question for you. Ready? Which one are you? The good, the bad, or the ugly?
I think I still need some time to determine that.
Really?
Hopefully the good, but I don't know. Could be the bad.
Let's do the test.
Okay.
How many lies have you told in your life? Good person.
Quite a bit.
Okay, so if you've told quite a bit of lies, what... If I told quite a bit of lies, what name would you give to me?
A liar.
All right. How many things have you stolen in your life?
Some, I guess.
All right. What does that make you?
A stealer.
If you're from Pittsburgh, otherwise you'd be a...
A stealer.
Thief.
A thief, yeah, okay.
Right? Okay. Let's try this one. Lusting.
Uh-huh.
Looking at a woman, sexual thoughts, sexual desire.
Yeah.
How many times today?
Probably a few.
All righty. So you're a luster at heart. You're an adulterer at heart. Can we say that?
Yeah.
All right. How's about as a child? Were you a good child? Were you a perfect child? Or were you naughty like the rest of us?
I had my times that I was naughty, I guess. Overall, hopefully good. But,
but have you ever been around a child?
Yes.
They're naughty.
Yeah.
So
true.
Are you.
Okay.
All right. So there's four commandments right there.
Okay.
All right. By your own admission, you're a liar, you're a thief, an adulterer at heart who is a naughty kid.
Yeah.
Okay, are you good, bad, or ugly?
I guess bad, but I mean, it depends on who you're comparing to, so...
Well, we just did, the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, but only one person was ever able to, you know, satisfy perfection, so...
And that person was?
Jesus Christ, so... I mean, if you're comparing just to one person, then, yeah, everybody's bad, but I think... You know, overall, there's a different test that, you know, humans can...
What would the test be?
I mean, I guess that would be the ultimate test to be perfection, but in real life, we're not made to be perfect, so...
Okay, let's say, right now, God drops that crane on your head, kills you, you die. Boom!
Correct.
You're transported right before the throne room of God.
Uh-huh.
He's on the bench. He is the just judge of all the world.
Yeah.
And he opens up the books on you. Right.
Okay.
So he knows everything you've thought, everything you've done. The books are open on you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be innocent or guilty before God?
We'd be guilty, but hopefully he would, you know, I've done enough that his grace would provide for a little, you know, to make up for the things that I haven't done.
Let me share this thought with you.
Okay.
If a criminal said that to a judge, let's go back to an earthly courtroom.
Yeah.
Pretty good parallel here.
Uh-huh.
And the criminal said, okay, judge, I know that I've fill in the blank with the crime.
Right.
I've murdered, I've stolen, whatever. I beat up the dog or whatever it is.
Okay.
But I gave $20 to the Red Cross and I helped a little old lady across the street.
Mm-hmm.
The judge would probably scratch his head and say, that has nothing to do with this court case.
Correct.
Your good deeds or what you think are good deeds have no bearing on the case. And furthermore... You're trying to persuade me and almost bribe me with your good deeds.
Correct. Yeah.
So let's go back to the heavenly courtroom.
Well, hopefully, you know, yes, we're not going to be able to do every good deed in this world, but the ones that we don't do and that we should get punished for, I think that's what Jesus Christ came here and was able to die on the sin for our sins, so that he kind of paid some of that, penalties for us, but still at the same time we do have to do as much as we can. You know what that standard is, I don't think we know. I mean, that's why you got to try to do as much as you can, but
let me run this by you.
Okay.
See what you think of this. All right. And this is going to be very, very harsh up front.
Yeah.
So just be patient with me, because I would suggest to you that the resolution is better than the one maybe you're wrestling with right now.
Okay.
All right. There is nothing inside of you that is presently good before God. Just hang in there with me.
Okay.
All right. It's called total depravity.
Uh-huh.
Now, it doesn't mean that you don't ever do a nice thing or a good thing or a helpful thing for society.
Okay.
But here's the problem. Your members, your motives, your thoughts, your desires, everything about you is tainted with sin.
Okay.
Okay. So imagine it. Maybe this is kind of a rough parallel.
Mm-hmm.
Adolf Hitler, we all agree, evil, wicked, rotten guy.
Yeah.
Right? Adolf Hitler brings a dozen roses to a woman and says, "Here, look what," to a Jewish woman.
Okay.
He'd murdered everybody in his family, in her family, and says, "Here is a dozen roses."
Yeah.
What an offering that would be, huh? The roses are beautiful. They're very nice. They smell beautiful.
Yeah.
But they're coming from Adolf Hitler.
Correct.
You do nice things.
Mm-hmm.
You do good things. But they're coming from a guy who's corrupt. I'm not calling you Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
But I'm saying you offer something to God and say, "Look at the good deeds I've done."
Mm-hmm.
To him, they're not good at all because they're coming from this guy who's at heart wicked and corrupt.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That's pretty harsh, isn't it?
It is, but I believe at the same time that, you know, as a human being that believes in God and Christ, that, you know, there's the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So, and the Spirit can live within us. Now, obviously, this earthly body we have, I think, is corrupt because it's made of this world, but there's a Spirit that does live inside of us that has, you know, good inside it that can overcome the evil tendencies that our body has.
Right.
But, you know,
I agree with that.
Okay.
But the question is, how does that Spirit get into you? Here's what I think where a lot of people stumble on the whole Christian religion idea.
Okay.
They get out of the starting blocks wrong.
Yeah.
When I asked you if you're a good person, a bad person, or an ugly person, you were trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Here's what the Bible says. We are all by nature sinful and corrupt and unclean. All of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. Everybody falls short of God's standard.
Correct.
So God looks down at us from his vantage point, comparing us to himself, which is perfection, which is revealed in the Ten Commandments. And he looks at us and we are wicked, awful people. Yeah. And there is nothing we can do that is pleasing to him in and of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And until an individual arrives at that place where they agree with that, not only am I not good, I am wicked, awful, bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're starting in the wrong place.
Okay.
Because once you get to that point, then all of a sudden that idea of Jesus Christ, the God-man, like you rightly said, the Trinity, you got that exactly right, dying for somebody like me is suddenly almost makes you want to gasp for air because the fact that God would do that for a sinner like me is beyond my comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we come to him lowly and broken, confessing and turning from our sins and putting our trust in Jesus without confessing any goodness of our own, but calling out to God for mercy, he then takes the goodness of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Here's the theological thought for you. Jesus practiced active and passive obedience. Passive obedience was when he was beaten on the cross and hung up to die.
Okay.
Right? But his active obedience was living a perfect life for 3 decades, keeping every law that you and I, he never lusted.
Yeah.
He never lied. He never dishonored his parents.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That goodness, because of his active obedience, gets credited to your account too.
Okay.
So not only will you be seen as not guilty when you repent and trust the Savior,
mm-hmm.
but you'll be credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself.
Mm-hmm.
You will be seen as holy and righteous before God. So that any goodness that we have is because of what Jesus did and nothing that we do.
Uh-huh.
Okay, 2 more theological terms for you.
Okay.
You're a smart guy. You can handle this.
All right.
Justification, sanctification.
Yeah.
Justification is a one-time declarative act outside of your body.
Uh-huh.
You repent and trust Jesus. You turn from your wicked ways, throw yourself at his mercy, and trust him for your eternity.
Uh-huh.
And he will justify you one time, declared in heaven.
Yeah.
Nothing you have done, nothing. Your faith, your repentance is merely a 911 call. He does the rescuing and the saving.
Uh-huh.
Once you are made his child, once you are justified, then he begins a work inside of you. He comes and dwells in you, and then he begins to clean you up on the inside.
Yeah.
But even the cleaning up process, you don't get credit for because he's doing it inside of you.
Okay.
That way, he gets all the credit, and he gets all the praise, and he gets all the glory. Because if it's something that you kind of do and he makes up the rest, it's kind of a Mormon idea or a Catholic idea. You don't do your best and Jesus does the rest. You've done nothing but bad and Jesus has done it all.
Yeah.
All right, now here's my question for you.
Okay.
That question I asked about being good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah.
It's a really important question.
Okay.
And it's kind of a loaded one, and maybe you weren't thinking in these terms.
Yeah.
But it's my experience, and I think the Bible backs this up. If a man thinks that he's good, he has not yet been saved.
Correct. Yeah.
Because you got to come to bed recognizing you're bad and ugly.
Uh-huh.
So my question for you, young man, have you come to God confessing you're bad and ugly, there's nothing good in and of yourself, and you've turned from your sins and you've put your trust in Jesus? Have you done that?
I have.
When did you do that?
I did it, I guess you could say, about teenage years. I was 15.
Yeah.
And I went to a camp, and basically, you know, I grew up in church, so... you know, I thought I was a Christian, but then I think that's the time I decided, you know, it's more than just something you read in words. And so
it's true.
Yeah.
Well, dude, maybe just examine your heart, see what's going on. It's good to do a little checkup once in a while.
Okay.
And until tomorrow, go serve your King.